big-time players step up in big-time moments and big-time games, and I think that's what I had to do for my team to get the win. That's what I did.
Met, we got off the bus, huddled up, took each other in each other's arms, and like looked each other in the eye, and we're like, hey, we can't lose again. Like, I don't want to feel that feeling again. And man, I'm going to remember this moment for the rest of my life.
To be honest, man, I'm just proud of these guys, bro. This is my last year. Man, these guys fought through a lot of adversity.
I mean, this season was everything I hoped it would be. I mean, with those group of guys, awesome group of guys in the locker room. Sad that it's over, but I mean, it happens. Life goes on, so.
You had us losing that game, bro. Well, that motivates us, so I appreciate that.
Listen, hey, whatever it takes.
This is Scorebook Life Today, a podcast about high school sports across the state of Washington. Or now rather, the lack of high school sports across the state as schools are closed while Washington continues to reel from the spread of the coronavirus, which has shut down businesses, schools, social gatherings, and seemingly every part of American life now. We're going to tackle all of its effects on high school sports here in the state today, as well as break down the Hardwood Classic, which happened right before everything seemed to shut down. I'm Andy Bueller, your host, a Scorebook Live reporter. With me on the phone, as usual, Todd Millis, senior reporter with Scorebook Live. I'm assuming calling from his usual post in Tacoma, and Dan Dickow from Spokane. How you guys doing, and where are you guys calling from amidst all of this craziness?
Yeah, great to be with you guys, and unfortunately we're not going to be seeing each other for a short bit of time. But I'm in Spokane instead of working from the Scorebook Live offices. I'll be at home for a short bit, kind of following up with everything that we're trying to do and lay the groundwork for some new plans. But yeah, it'll be definitely an interesting time for sure for everybody.
I am not in Tacoma. I made a mad dash down to the ocean to do some work. So it's kind of crazy times. But glad to be able to get out and play some golf a little bit, and which is the one thing that's not closed, which is nice for us golfers. So, but you're right, we did sneak in those state championships, so we got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. And shout out to all the golf courses staying open, keeping in shape, and providing an outlet for people to stay active, as social isolation is something that everyone should be taking a part of in as the country hopes to flatten the curve and the spread of this rapidly growing number of coronavirus cases domestically. How is that impacting high school sports across the state? Well, it's having a massive effect. I mean, right now, as Washington has become ground zero in this country for the virus, Governor Jay Inslee shut down schools K through 12 across the state through April 24th. The earliest date that schools can resume under that directive is April 27th. So as we record this, we've got a few weeks ahead of us with no school. Parents listening, athletes listening, we're very interested in hearing how you guys are handling this, including spring sports that were just starting to get ready, get going, and now are at a standstill. Athletes are being directed to train on their own, get a little creative, and not meet up in groups as a team, as we hope this virus spread again is limited. That being said, the WIA this week announced that it's still moving forward with a plan for spring sports championships to go on as scheduled if schools are able to reopen at the end of April. Mick Hoffman, the executive director, put out a video of how that might look with a condensed season, mandatory practice waivers, and you know, just how there's enough time that if we sit back, sit this out, follow orders, and check back in 6 weeks, that there's still time for spring sports championships for the athletes who have worked so hard for this final sports season of the year. Here at Scorebook Live, what's next for us? Well, scorebooklive.com/Washington, though school might be out, is still going to be your home for high school sports across the state. Videos, articles, photos, podcasts, you name it. We're going to continue to publish consistently on the site. We'll be hard at work putting a bow on the high school basketball season with our all-state teams that published this week. Postseason top 50 lists for basketball. More on that later. And we'll dive into spring coverage. Which, Todd, you and I first joined Scorebook Life last spring as the company looked to grow its presence as the preeminent statewide high school sports outlet. What can readers, listeners, and viewers expect from us in these next few months?
Yeah, I mean, it's so much different than all the time and the energy that we devote to football, basketball. I know the three of us spend lots of hours doing our research and putting out great content, both audio and obviously with the stories that we write. You know, springtime is a time for us to sort of catch our breath and maybe do something different. We don't get out as much as live coverage as we do maybe the other two sports, but it gives us a chance to kind of maybe do bigger stories, better features, maybe with a human interest twist to them. We'll still do our top baseball players, top softball players, top boys soccer players. We'll have, I know, like last year I did something on a really good girls pole vaulter. I mean, it gives us a chance to kind of dabble a little bit, whereas, you know, the fall and the winter, we're so engrossed into, you know, one sport. So I'm looking forward to it. It's not going to change our coverage plan a whole lot. I mean, obviously, we're looking through a different scope these days in terms of hoping that the season starts in May and hoping that we have a spring fest here at the end of May like we always do. That obviously remains to be seen, but, you know, I'd encourage our listeners and our readers to stay tuned. I think we still got a lot of really good coverage ahead, and I'm looking forward to celebrating my 1 year anniversary here in April.
Yeah, man, absolutely, and tons of great stuff on the site and in the works. Please reach out if there's a story you feel like needs to be told. I can't stress that enough. If there's an athlete with a compelling personal story and inspiration off the court as well as on the court, we'd love to hear about it. You can email me and Todd. I'm Andy@scorebooklive.com. Todd is Todd@scorebooklive.com, or DM us on Twitter. We're always looking for new athletes to highlight, new stories to tell. That door remains wide open this spring. On the video side, Dan, I've really enjoyed watching your breakdowns over the past few weeks of the basketball playoffs, which continue with new breakdowns this week of who impressed you across each state tournament. So what can everyone expect from you over these next few months outside of this podcast?
Yeah, this is kind of a time for me to catch my breath a little bit as well, just as Todd spoke about. But really, kind of what I'm doing is starting to plan. We'll take a little bit of a reflection of what I thought worked well with my coverage, the features that I did, both with some of our Legends series, our interview with Jay Billis, the one with Adam Morrison that we haven't released yet, some of our podcast interview guests that were one-on-one with coaches, as well as looking back at our media days and seeing what was successful with those, what can be better. So I'm going to be really taking some time reflecting and planning out our next year. In the meantime, in the spring, the podcast will continue to go on. But as Todd mentioned, you know, there won't be as much, you know, coverage on the day-to-day aspect of spring sports. But what I'm going to be planning on bringing to the podcast in the next few weeks and months is going to be a focus of interviewing coaches in regards to how they build a culture within their program. So asking some deeper questions as opposed to just, hey, how's your team doing right now? Or tell me about that big win 2 weeks ago. It'll be a little bit more thought out. There'll be more thought out answers from the coaches. I'm also going to be reaching out to, you know, former athletes from the high school level in the state of Washington that went on to have success at the college or professional ranks. I think that'd be great for people to hear some of their experiences. Also, I think in these times, I think it's very important for people to understand that, you know, yeah, it seems like a huge deal right now, and it is. I'm not taking anything away from it. But it's all just a small snapshot in time when you look at a big picture of a career. And so I'm going to be, you know, connecting with some authors who have written kind of sports performance books or leadership books and just kind of getting their feedback, their take, some recommendations from them on how you can continue to prepare and what are the best avenues of approach mentally to take as a young athlete. So those are the few things that I'm looking at. Scorebook Live, we're really, you know, we're open to any ideas that people have or guests that people think we should have or, you know, just some feedback. Because right now, like I said, reflecting, seeing what really went well, and then planning our next few months all the way up into next fall. You know, I really was had a lot of good feedback on our media days, and we've got some interesting ideas to grow that to encompass more of the state, but also to make it more in depth of stuff that we can release preseason, in season, as well as even postseason stuff next year.
Really looking forward to some of the guests we're going to have on this podcast. The great part about those types of interviews is that you can still go back and listen to them whenever. They'll still be relevant. And a great way to do that is by subscribing to the Scorebook Live Today podcast wherever you get podcasts. Apple, Spotify, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher. Those are just a few examples. You can do so for free. That way you get each episode of this show downloaded straight to your mobile device, tablet, laptop, what have you. It's a great way to stay tuned with everything that we're doing.
Washington Federal is a bank based in Seattle that operates 235 branches, and it cares deeply about high school sports not only in the Seattle metro area, but across the entire state of Washington. Head to WashingtonFederal.com to learn more or visit your closest branch.
But without further ado, let's dive into what went down at the end of the basketball season just a couple of weeks ago.
This is our first podcast since right before the Hardwood Classic, which I think as pretty much the Hardwood Classic was pretty much the last big sporting event in Washington to take place, especially at the high school level. I mean, I remember having a conversation with Executive Director Mick Hoffman in the middle of Hardwood Classic as more and more cases of coronavirus were reported in the Seattle, the Kirkland area. And I just kind of asked him if this had been a week later, would this happen? And he kind of just looked at me and was like, oh, I don't know. And obviously with what we saw play out, I think that we all know the answer to that, but it did happen. And there were a ton of great storylines, fantastic performances, that Todd, I were lucky to see. I was in Tacoma for the 3A, 4A boys and girls tournament. And Todd was in Yakima. He's in Tacoma actually for the first day, and got a little taste of both. Went back to the Yakima Sun Dome for 1A, 2A. Todd, do you want to dive into a couple of takeaways and some of your favorite moments from the state tournament that you saw? It could be on that first day in Tacoma, or the rest of your time at the beautiful Sun Dome there in Yakima.
Yeah, I mean, just sort of a general theme: expect the unexpected. I mean, you look at all the favorites on both sides that we talked endlessly about in the weeks leading up to the postseason. All those, especially Friday night. Friday night semifinals was sort of the graveyard for favorites. When I look at a lot of what our girls basketball coverage, the one thing that sort of sticks out with me in the 4A level is, Central Valley girl. You just can't Central Valley girls. I mean, what a story. Felice Arell, an alum, taking over under some pretty, trying circumstances, instilling a real toughness to her team. Lucky to get a point guard back who missed her season last year in Peyton Howard, who's a real go-getter, a real get-in-your-grill type defender. And that sort of carried the day. I had a chance to cover Tony Bennett, a couple years at Washington State on those two really good NCAA teams, and I really like defensive basketball. I see what defensive basketball does to teams. I don't, nobody likes to be defended in basketball. And this is a living example of a team that maybe didn't have a whole lot of offense, but, made an unbelievable run through the postseason with defense and rebounding and discipline. And maybe I didn't give them enough credit going in, but congratulations to that group. It was a fantastic run and ending by snapping Woodinville's undefeated season in the championship game. But that's a storyline I don't think we can ignore. Now, being from Tacoma and getting to Yakima, I mean, obviously getting to watch Haley Van Lith and her first, and that Kashmir team's first, their pursuit for that first state championship in school history. I mean, they've talked about going in their own gymnasium and looking up. They only have state championship banners in their gym. They don't have league or district or regional championships. So when they look up in that gym, there's nothing hanging for girls basketball in their entire history. So that pursuit, really weighed on them. And they had a fantastic run. And for, three and a half quarters against Lyndon Christian in the championship game, were the better team. And then, I got to witness really good championship basketball in the final 8 minutes, and Lyndon Christian went on a 13-0 run, kind of snatched the championship away from them. It was a well-played game. I mean, Kashmir didn't lose the championship. The Lynx went out and won it, and it was a fantastic finale, you know, for our season to watch two teams that were top 10 teams in any classification or all classification go at it. Unfortunately for Haley and that Cashmere team, that's the third runner-up finish in her 4 years, and she's going to leave school without a state championship. It shouldn't tarnish her reputation or her legacy at all. She's as good as I've seen come through the high school ranks in 25 years, and man, to get to watch her and the emotion of that game, the intensity of that game, and a great basketball venue for high school basketball, it was a nice bow at the to kind of conclude the season.
Yeah, I'll quickly touch on the Central Valley team that you spoke of, Todd, and I had a chance. Obviously, Freddie Rico works closely with you and us on Scorebook Live, and went out there and did a video recap on the girls' side at Central Valley High School a week or so ago. And I just asked him, off camera about, the pride that school and that, in particular, the girls' basketball program has, and, how it's been there for so long. And he just kind of smiled. You could tell that he's still very invested, and he's very proud of what he was such a huge part of creating. He's no longer coaching, obviously, but I think he's got to, feel really good about what he has kind of created, laid the foundation for, because a lot of those kids, the juniors and seniors, came up through the program when he was still coaching. So obviously, congrats to that community. That what a great way to kind of fight through, coaching turnover when Freddie decided to step down a couple of years ago, because he wanted time with his family. And then they had some upheaval and uncertainties to start the year with coaching staff. So I thought it was an awesome story for that community.
It was great, and just to see, the emotions there. Of that team, to see that celebration and the way they came through in that championship game, one of the great storylines across this season, boys and girls across all classifications. So congrats to the Bears of Central Valley, who on the boys side I'll touch on in a moment, but just to run through, congratulations to all six champions: Odessa at the 1B level, their first basketball championship; Brewster yanking it in overtime away from a really talented Life Christian Academy team at the 2B level. Kings, we could do a whole podcast about the run that Kings made as a 14 seed out of a loser out regional game, basically a state championship level game in the first round against Zilla, and another loser out, all the way to, of course, an overtime game against Linden Christian in the championship. And then congrats to North Kitsap at the 2A level, Garfield at the 3A level, and Mount Si at the 4A level. A couple storylines that were really exciting to see in person in Tacoma were Todd, you had mentioned that Saturday was, or Friday night was kind of a murder's row for teams going down, favorites going down, and at the 4A level, two undefeated teams lost in the same day, and that was a top-seeded Union losing to Central Valley, and then Glacier Peak, the number two seed, which was previously undefeated, losing to Mount Si. Now, if you would have asked me, and I may have even said this on our podcast before the state tournament, I still would have said Union was the favorite. Lost their first-team all-league point guard in Brad Lackey midway through the season to a season-ending knee injury. But still maintained and still won out through, a tough league schedule and a tough bye district schedule as well. But Union, when it all came down to it, I think Union really did miss their point guard and their floor general in the state tournament. You saw they turn the ball over a little bit more. Teams, especially Central Valley, one of the reasons they beat Union is they tried to take not Tanner Toulson out of the game, not only Tanner Toulson, because he's Mr. Basketball, he's going to get his, he's going to find ways to score, but take away Union's second option, and that was Caden Horn, a transfer from Mountain View, a junior guard who had a tremendous season and should be one of the top players coming out of Southwest Washington next year. But only had 7 shots, went 1-for-7 in the state semifinals. That was a big reason, their ability to limit him and just the discipline that, that Central Valley showed. You didn't really know who was going to beat you. One day it was Noah Sanders. The other day, Gavin Gilstrap, you know, made plays. Jace Simmons was always there and ready to hurt you and did. And that was a big reason that why Central Valley made an impressive run as kind of the steady presence all along. I mean, you know, it felt like they were just always there. You know, they had a good opening night win over Gonzaga prep team. I believe opening night was when Liam Lloyd had like 46 points or something like that, and then went on to win the Greater Spokane League, won the District 8 tournament, and were just always the constant all along. You know, took down Federal Way in the regional round. So the only thing that could stop Central Valley this year was a Mount Si team. Last season, is runner-up that peaked at the right time after a few bumps in the road early on, really turned a corner, learned how to play together, and was, you know, the best team in 4A, hands down. The way that Jay Mullins led that team before, as his swan song at Mount Si before heading off to St. Mary's, was as impressive as a performance as there was across, I would say, all tournaments. I mean, he, when he wasn't scoring the ball, he was doing everything else. And, you know, there's a reason he was he's our 4A state MVP. I think it was in the semifinal game. He only had 8 points, but he had something like 12 assists and 10 rebounds, or was impossible to get a hold of, so steady. And I think the key, though, to Mount Si's run was the emergence of Tyler Patterson, Montana State commit, 3-and-D guy, was hitting shots from behind the three-point line. And after some early struggles, took some bumps early in the season, his emergence and his ability to come through when it mattered most was as crucial as anything to Mount Si's state championship run. So congrats to the Wildcats. That's at the 4A level. At the 3A level, it was just Garfield dominance, as we saw. Both the boys and the girls each took home state championships. And on the boys' side, you know, you hear, and there's tons of noise around Garfield when they won, and you see it on social media. You hear chatter about it, of, you know, this is a manufactured team. And, you know, the reality is that Garfield was playing third fiddle for a lot of the season in the Metro, in a really tough Metro league, behind Paolo Banchero and O'Day and, you know, Nolan Hickman, that strong junior class of Shane Noel, Nolan Hickman, JT Tumalau, and Eastside Catholic, which came in as the one seed. And Garfield turned it on at the right time and left absolutely no doubt. Tari Eason was the best player across all tournaments. I feel confident saying that, in his performance in both the semifinal and the final, he was absolutely electric. He was must-see basketball, was hit 2 quarter-ending buzzer-beating 3-pointers in the state championship game, had windmill dunks, and he let everyone know that this was his time. So winning those state semifinal and state championship games over perhaps our top two teams across the state, across all classifications all season, winning those games by over 50 points combined left no doubt. So the Garfield Bulldogs, congratulations at the 3A level. Dan, that was a long rant. Did I miss anything?
No, you know, I think you were spot on in talking about, you know, some people complain about Garfield potentially, you know, having some transfers. Look, this isn't, we've touched on it a little bit at different points, both on the podcast, I believe, but also, you know, off air, off camera. It's the nature of sports these days at all levels, and it's in high school. Now, as long as, you know, the kids in the Seattle Metro District have moved appropriately, it is what it is. There's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing you can say about it. You know, what I can say is, in a metropolitan area like a Seattle, you know, a family moves 1 or 2 blocks away, you can change you can kind of cross the lines for what school they need to go to very easily. It's much different in Seattle than it is in, you know, Spokane or different rural areas. You know, so unfortunately, if some people are making that claim, you know, that's a tough one to hear, listen to. At the end of the day, you had some homegrown teams, if that's what you want to call them, that had pretty darn good seasons and then were right there at the end. I mean, I saw Garfield this year against Nathan Hale, and what I saw was a good, not great team. Granted, Kendall Munson didn't play that night, but what I did see was I don't necessarily want to call him a leader, but their best player in Tari Eason was willing to do more of the little things than what I had heard from others throughout a lot of my evaluations of calling people and listening to people. What I also saw was a player in Corin Johnson who I really liked. And I think Corin Johnson continued to improve throughout the season. And then in the playoffs, as you guys have told me, he was rock solid. I mean, he was very good. He now holds at least one Division I scholarship offer from University of Washington. So, you know, congrats to them. They peaked at the right time of the year. And I think you got to give Brandon Roy some credit because he's played at the highest level, and that's the NBA. And you understand that you don't want to be playing your best basketball early in the season. You want to make sure you're progressing and moving forward and you're peaking at the right time of the year. And they had some bumps in the road, in particular their early season tournament. I believe it was in Hawaii. But they played well at the end of the year, and that's when it matters most.
Absolutely. Yeah, and talking to Roy after the game, I asked him about just Tari's tournament and what it was like. Roy took last season off. He stepped away from coaching, and Eason transferred from Garfield to Federal Way to play with Jaden McDaniels for a season. And just about seeing his growth in those 2 years. And he said, you know, I told Tari he wished he could have played more 2 years ago, and basically told him to be patient, and when his moment came, they were going to need him to be Superman. And he did all of that. He came through. And so really, really impressive. And just on your point about Corin Johnson, what a fantastic performance from the sophomore. I mean, he went toe-to-toe with Nolan Hickman, who had solidified himself as, you know, arguably the top, if not the top point guard in the state all year. We wrote a big story about him a couple weeks ago, and not to take anything away from Nolan Hickman, but just to illustrate what Corin Johnson did, how he didn't back down, and he kind of punched first. He was the one hitting threes. He was the one giving a little extra shimmy, and really, really plays with a lot of fire. So that was a lot of fun to see. So all of these takes and takeaways were factored into our conversations surrounding our all-classification, all-state teams and the awards that were associated with those lists, which are live now on scorebooklive.com/Washington. Those were a lot of fun to work on. A lot of these players you won't ever see go head-to-head, which is unfortunate. But on the boys' side, Tari Eason was our player of the year. Rick Skeen at Kings was our coach of the year. And then we had some fun awards and superlatives to give out, particularly most improved player going to Tucker Molina at Glacier Peak, and Corin Johnson is our breakout player. But before we kind of dive into that, I want to quickly shout out a team I haven't mentioned that made a really strong tournament run, finishing sixth in the 4A state tournament after winning its first state tournament game in 49 years. That's the Sumner Spartans. And I'll say it, I picked against them. I picked Gonzaga Prep to beat them with the way that Gonzaga Prep was playing as the two-time defending state champs and with Liam Lloyd. That matchup, as I believe it was the 8-9 in the first round, in a loser out, Gonzaga Prep was the team to beat, and Sumner gave them all they had, including the shot of the tournament, a corner three by Josh Lear, who we gave the award of Mr. Clutch to. And Dan, I know you mentioned this in your video breakdown of the tournament, but Jake Jackson, head coach at Sumner, he jumped up on the scorers table amid their celebration after taking down Gonzaga Prep. And as they ran over to their crowd and their student section and their fan section of over in on the Sumner side, he's going up in the crowd and he's coming down and he had done two interviews and I grabbed him and and I'd never met Jake before and I introduced myself and said, "Hey coach, you got a second for you know, just to talk to him, interview him after the game?" And without hesitation he said, "You know you picked us to lose that game, bro. You know that, right?"
You had us losing that game, bro. Well, that motivates us, listen, so I appreciate that.
Listen, hey, whatever it takes.
A lot of respect for Jake pulling that out of his hat. Clearly, that provided some motivation for him, as he said. And I love when we get proved wrong like that. It was really fun to see that game in person. It was a fantastic game that Liam Lloyd at Gonzaga Prep had a great shot to win at the end. That didn't fall. So, but diving into this all-classification, all-state team, Todd, on the girls' side, how did you go about making those teams? And were there any players that you particularly wanted to mention and for seasons they had throughout not only the regular season but the postseason as well?
Well, I mean, when somebody scores 2,994 points for a career and has the pristine record that Haley Van Lith had, and you could put her in the conversation, you know, she could certainly be on the Mount Rushmore of all-time greats coming out of Washington. I mean, it was a pretty easy choice. And from start to finish, it helped that there were some of the other great players, Delia Daniels, a fellow McDonald's All-American who had battled some injuries, missed some time. You know, Jordan Jenkins getting hurt. I love Jordan Jenkins' game. She would have certainly been in the conversation as well. Jada Noble, I mean, what can you say about her? Maybe as consistent a player in the 4A3 level and in her skill set. I mean, just no weaknesses in her game. She doesn't have to be a scorer to be great. She does everything else. She does what the team needs. I mean, she was certainly in the conversation and was our 3A state player of the year. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, it was a pretty easy choice. I mean, a Naismith Award finalist, a McDonald's All-American, a fantastic career, the state's all-time leading scorer. You know, it was pretty easy to pick Haley as a senior and heading off to Louisville. She was our MVP. And then, I think it was pretty self-explanatory. Mia Hughes leading Woodinville to an undefeated record, number one ranking all year. Kinko, 4A MVP as a junior, was on the first team. Keely Burton Oliver, who's had a really good career, one of the more unique post players I've seen come out of the state in a while. She's a ferocious rebounder who likes to go out and shoot the three, and she's a really good shooter. She's heading off to ASU, another really good year. I know Eastlake didn't get a chance, didn't put itself in a position to defend the 4A title, but still she had a really, really good year as a senior. And then I mentioned, you know, Delia Daniels, Jada Noble. I mean, all those players deserved a lot of credit, especially in their senior years. Delia coming back from the injury and leading Garfield to a state championship, which is something she wanted to do so badly after falling short the last couple of years. So, I mean, it's a pretty self-explanatory, pretty easy team to put together on the girls' side. But I'm really, really excited about what's ahead with this really good group of sophomores and ninth graders that have come through. You know, Malia Samuel, she was our freshman of the year. I've talked about her on the podcast before as a point guard. Dan, I know you would watch her, and I really appreciate her ability to change direction and change pace all in one, you know, fluid movement. And to watch her do that as a ninth grader is pretty remarkable. But she leads a really, really deep and talented class for the, you know, 2023. It's going to come through and be sort of this next wave of talent. It's you know, the prospects here in Washington for girls basketball are bright over the next 3 or 4 years. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
You could say the same on the boys' side. A lot of juniors and younger on these all-state teams. So that is a sign of what's to come. I'm certainly excited for it going forward, and I'm excited to see some of these younger players really make a name for themselves on the summer circuit. Obviously, depending on what everything that happens, hoping that basketball is to be played within the next few months. So But I guess I think that wraps it up for this podcast. It was really nice to dust off the mics and chat with you guys. I always appreciate you making time, and looking forward to everything that we've got lined up in this in the spring and going forward. So like I said earlier, subscribe to this podcast. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play are just a few, basically anywhere you get your podcasts. Scorebooklive.com/Washington is your home for Washington High School sports coverage. You can subscribe to our newsletter for free to get our top headlines of the day delivered straight to your email multiple times a week. So without further ado, that's it for us this week in the Scorebook Live Today podcast. Thank you for listening. Thank you.